Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, come now in the power of your Spirit and open our hearts, our minds, our imaginations to your word. Give us grace to hear your call upon our lives, sending us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. One of my greatest privileges as a bishop is the ordaining of deacons and priests for their ministry in the church. But the responsibility that is woven into that privilege is assessing a person's readiness for ministry. Now, based on the story of Isaiah's call, assessment comes down essentially to three questions. Has this person been undone? Has this person been touched? Has this person been sent? And so I want to look at those three questions. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. Now it's after the death of King Uzziah, who is still leprous from his prideful attempt to offer incense in the temple inappropriately. But Isaiah sees the true king, the Lord of hosts, high and lifted up. Now, this could have been a moment of great comfort. The king of Israel has just died. The Lord now reveals himself to Isaiah, basically to say, I recognize Uzziah is dead, but you need to know I am the king. And so Isaiah could have walked out of the temple and gone back to his people and said, I've seen the real king, the Lord of hosts. I've seen angels worshiping him. We are in good shape. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Right? That's how it could have come down. But it's not how it happened. He sees God high and lifted up. He sees the seraphim flying around the throne, crying out, holy, holy, holy. He sees these flaming angels. The word means flame. So he sees these burning angels flying around, reflecting God's glory. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. And he takes no real encouragement in that moment. Right? He doesn't say to himself, well, this is cool. We're in good hands. Instead, the glory of the Lord shines into Isaiah's heart and mind and imagination, and what he sees is where he really stands. And he throws himself on the ground and covers his face and cries out, woe is me, for I am lost. Or in the older translations that are still are in my mind, I am undone. I'm destroyed. This is the end of me. If this is God, then I am in trouble. Now, obviously, that experience stands in contrast, stark contrast with the way we think in the United States, particularly in the West more generally. Most Americans, heart of hearts, are convinced that when we stand before Jesus, the great white throne judgment, that we're going to present him our resume. And he's going to scan it, and he's going to say, wow, that's pretty good. Better than most I've seen. Come into the joy of my Father's kingdom. Isaiah has the opposite reaction. He sees the Lord of hosts in all of his glory with the flaming angels flying around, and he throws himself on the ground and he says, I am lost. I am undone. I am destroyed. because I am a man of unclean lips. So the first criterion for assessing readiness for ordination is whether or not the ordinand has been undone, has encountered the glory of God, has come to face his or her own sinfulness, and recognizes that left to himself or herself, there is no hope. That the glory of God would destroy him. Now, if that were the end of the story, Isaiah 6 would be pretty depressing. But it goes on. Overwhelmed by the death of Uzziah, terrified at the sight of God's glory, and with his face to the ground, Isaiah is ready to receive what he needs most. God's grace. The atoning fire of God's altar. And so the flaming angel goes to the altar, picks up tongs, takes a coal of fire from the altar, puts it in his flaming hand, flies over to Isaiah, and says, "You need to read the book, 7 Steps to a Clean Lips." Right? Hands him a flyer for a conference on how to attain and maintain wholesome speech. Flies over to him with a coal of fire and says, "Isaiah, get up and just try a little harder." No. He flies over with the coal of fire from the altar of God and touches Isaiah's lips and says, "You now, your sin is atoned for. God has done something in you you can't do yourself. You need to understand this is all grace. There is no call to doing better. There's no call for bucking up and trying harder." The angel comes with the answer Isaiah needed and touches his lips with atonement. And so the second criteria for assessing readiness is, has the candidate, has the ordinand, experienced God's work in his heart? Does the ordinand understand the grace of God? Is the atonement something real in his heart and imagination so that it can be real in his preaching and pastoring? And then the third thing, is the ordinand sent? Now that Isaiah has been undone and touched, he's ready to hear God's call. And if we bring the other readings into the story, we see the nature of our calling. God sends his servants with his word in the power of the Spirit with the heart of a shepherd to equip the saints so they can equip each other. Let me say that again because there's a lot in it. God sends his servants with his word in the power of the Spirit with the heart of a shepherd to equip the saints so they can equip each other. So let me unpack that just a little bit. First, God sends his servants. A true vocation, a true calling comes from God. Isaiah is not having a "what color is your parachute" moment. Right? He's not doing professional discernment. He's not trying to figure out what job is he best fit for. He's already settled that what he's best fit for is to be destroyed. The only question now is, having been touched by the grace of God, what does God want. A call to the priesthood is not a call that's based upon our own abilities. It's not a call that's like, well, let's see, given your temperament, given your experience, given your background, given your expertise, given your education, given the kind of person you are, you could either be a social worker, a trash collector, or a priest. So you choose. That's not what vocation is. Vocation is hearing the voice of God say, whom shall we send? Whom shall we send to do the thing that left to himself he's already identified is impossible? Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man whose lips are not worthy to bear the holy message of God. God says, perfect. You're just the right candidate. I can't do this. Yes! Because if you thought you could, you wouldn't be called. God sends his servants. And the call often comes as a surprise. Secondly, God sends his servants with his word in the power of the Spirit. That when you look at the life of Jesus or you see the history of the early church unfold, that they go in boldness with the message that God has given them to proclaim in the power of the Spirit. God is giving them boldness. God is giving them wisdom. God is stretching out his hand and doing signs and wonders. All of that is part of their being sent. Third, God sends his servants with the heart of the good shepherd. Like Jesus, those of us who are ordained are called to lay down our lives for those we serve. One of the signs of readiness for ordination is the moment that somebody says, this is scary. When I talk to folks who are in the ordination process, I'm listening for the heart of the shepherd. I'm listening for folks who are less concerned about what ordination is going to give them and more concerned about the call in their lives to give to God's people. Because here's the deal. If you are wanting to become a priest because you think you're going to get something cool out of it, you need to realize the 50s are over. There are no clergy discounts anymore. Those days are long gone. That putting on a collar, you would walk down the street and people would say, well, Father, let me open the door for you. Priest in the diocese told the story to me just a couple weeks ago. He was walking down the street in his collar. Somebody rolled down the window and yelled at the top of his voice, child molester! The priesthood is not about what we're going to get. The priesthood is about laying down our lives for the sheep. Because we are not hirelings. We are shepherds. And finally, God sends his servants to equip the saints. Now that was in the part that we read. If you continue reading on in Ephesians 4, it's fascinating because there is exact parallel language just a few verses later that says, that parallels the language of the body, but also the language of equipping. The job of the priest, the job of those who are ordained is to equip the people of God to do their ministry. it is not the job of clergy to do your ministry for you. They are not your paid representatives. They're not the help. They are your teachers, your pastors, your equippers, so that you can do your piece of the ministry. Because what Paul says is that when everybody brings their piece, the body is equipped. The body thrives and grows and builds itself up. It will not be Nathaniel's job to build up this body. It will be Nathaniel's job to equip you to build up this body with what God has given you by His grace. Which is where Paul starts in today's reading. He says, "But grace was given to each one of us, not to the ordained, but to those who are in Christ." So Nathaniel, in a moment, I'll lay my hands on you for a second time. And I do so because I believe that you have encountered the living God and have been both undone in your sin and touched by His grace. You know that you're not going to be coming to kneel before me to receive what the church will offer you in ordination because you are worthy. You know that left to yourself, you are lost. And it's all grace. And I'll lay my hands on you as a symbol of God's call to love, to lead, to equip His people with His Word and His Spirit. Not for your benefit, not for what you'll gain, but really a call to lay down your life for the sheep. A call to lead them into a deeper relationship and walk with Jesus, so that they in turn can be undone and touched and sent. That will be your job. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would work in each of our hearts, bringing us to a place where we are undone in our sin and touched by your grace, and then sent to do your work. Because Jesus, there still are sheep that need to hear your voice to come to you. So Holy Spirit, come and do your work. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.